was that additional love? Therefore, you know, we were taught that whenever you see a wherefore or a therefore, seek to find out what it's there for. This is a conclusive thing, right? This word therefore. In light of the former, therefore the Father, he always loved the Son.
Yes.
But is a motivation for additional love? Is a motivation for enhanced love? Is a motivation for greater love? There are degrees of love.
Sure.
You know, the Lord Jesus says, greater love hath no man than this, and a man laid down his life for his friends. But are there stages of love? Even I'm asking the question now. In the Godhead, he always loved the Son. But I'm asking, was there an occasion for even further and greater appreciation because of the extent to which the Son obeyed, even though it was the cross?
Brother, it's not a fresh occasion. It's a fresh occasion for the Father to express his love to the Son.
Yes.
Not that it's a greater degree. Because the Son was loved perfectly in eternity. There couldn't be anything greater than that, but it's a fresh occasion for the Father to say, oh, what a Son. What a Son.
I was thinking of the contrast in John 5, verse 19 and verse 30 in that chapter are really sort of the bookend, you might say, to that section. Verse 30 somewhat reiterates verse 19 in that chapter, where it says again, it says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, my judgment is just, and so on. I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. And in the middle of those verses, from verse 19 to 30, in between those verses, there are all kinds of examples of the tremendous authority and power of the Son. The Father has life in himself, and he's given the Son to have life in himself. And the hour is coming, and now is, when those who are dead will hear the voice of the Son and will live. All authority is given to the hand of the Son. All judgment is committed to the hand of the Son. So the tremendous position that he had, the tremendous authority that he had, is, I think, in contrast to the way he puts it, that I can only do what the Father has given me to do. The things that he could do were tremendous, and yet it emphasizes what we were saying, just the humility and the dependence that he shows in the midst of that. The things that he would do were beyond comprehension, and yet he did all those things as one who is dependent upon the Father. And so when we're thinking about that for ourselves, on the one hand, we are given a very incomparable position as sons. Sonship is a tremendous thing. It's one of the very unique features of Christianity. And it's something we probably don't appreciate or even think about often enough to consider that we are also sons. And then at the same time, it does not give us the license to be demanding. The Lord Jesus didn't seek what pleased him. The Son doesn't please himself, but he seeks to please the Father. And we are sons. We have this tremendous position, tremendous standing, tremendous reason to be very emphatic about what the truth is. Read some of the things the Apostle Paul wrote. He never shrunk back from what the truth was. He was very direct. Part of that was his apostleship, but part of that was because he knew the truth of God, and so can we. But even so, we are dependent. And it's a wonderful contrast to see in those verses of such power and authority in John 5 that they're surrounded by these expressions of his complete dependence. There was nothing in him that brought him to step out of God's will.
I think there's one of the features of sonship, perhaps one of the more prominent features of sonship that has not even been touched on, is that of inheritance. And I think we find in John 3, verse 35, the Father loves the Son and has given all things to be in his hand. You know, this is because, why? Because the Father loves the Son, and he's giving him everything. we become sons of God. We share, Paul wrote, we become co-heirs with Christ. All of these things are belonging to us. And this is not something, I don't want to get our eyes off of the Lord and onto us. That's not the point. The point is that one of the prominent features of sonship is inheritance. The son inherits everything of the father's. You can see that in Genesis 24 when the servant is sent to look for a bride for Isaac. The servant says to the family, he says, I got to read it. Sorry. Verse 36. Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master after she had grown old. And unto him he has given all that he has. All that he has. Everything that God has is Christ's. Marvelous thought. Sonship. Heirship. Inheritance.
And the servant gave her tokens of the reality of that.
Right.
Gifts. Hasn't the Lord done that for us? He's given us the Holy Spirit indwelling. It is the earnest, the down payment of our inheritance. And so, what a wonderful, blessed, many wonderful things we receive.
The Lord Jesus continued to say that the Father is greater than all. Yeah. Now, again, one of the things that cults do is they lift verses out of their setting, out of their context, to fail to appreciate what the Lord is saying in any particular passage. The balance of that is has been looked at before today in Philippians chapter 2. Mm-hmm. That he was equal with God. God did not robbery to be equal with God. And so we find that divine persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, are co-equal, co-essential, that is, they're of the same substance, whatever that means. I'm not so sure we can really understand that, but it's the word that really gives us some grasp at what God is intrinsically and substantively, and then co-essential and co-eternal. These relationships do not begin. They are eternal. They are always. And so when he says the Father is greater, it does not mean that one is better than the other, one is greater than the other in terms of anything other than this relationship. And the Father and the Son may be equal, but there is a positional, the doctrine of headship, for example. A man and a woman are equal, I believe, in terms of God's record. However, there is this relationship whereby one takes a position of demonstrating something that the other cannot. And therefore we have the head covering. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself is equal with God. But he takes a position voluntarily and eternally in relationship to his Father. And we see that lovely relationship.